Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
As he is every single Wednesday, is Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. I kind of went Jack Palance there. Welcome back to the show, buddy. How you doing, Ross?
I'm doing well. I like that. I thought that was pretty good, actually. Nick, you've kind of a nice voice.
People are saying it. Many people are saying it. By the way, Ross, my coworkers. Swears today he's never seen Goonies, and then he Googled Goonies only to find out he has seen it, but still can't really define what the movie's about.
How old is your coworker?
He was born in 1998.
Oh, okay. Wow. Gosh, I'm old. That's understandable because I'm sure there's movies, you know, from like the 60s that I haven't watched, you know? I don't know. I mean, the movies from the 80s, the movies from way before he was even a thing. So I guess I'm a little bit happy and impressed that he even watched it at all.
We'll take a win here. What do you think about Dylan Gabriel being the new starting quarterback for the Browns?
Wow. You know, they don't call you the master of the segue for nothing, yep. Nick. That was incredible.
They literally don't call me that.
I think we all knew it was inevitable. You know, the question was always just one of timing, and certainly we talked about that last week. You know, I don't think going against Brian Flores and the Vikings defense is ideal, but I don't know. I'm not really sure there is an ideal time. You know, I mean, we could talk about, well, then this, but then this on the road at the Steelers, that's probably not ideal. So then maybe at home against Miami would be best. You know, I think one of the biggest reasons why they probably did it now is, you know, what if they put Flacco in or kept Flacco in and they went over there and beat the Vikings? Then it kind of feels like you got to leave him in there for a couple more weeks. And I think that they had kind of gotten to the point where it's like, okay, we're not going to the playoffs. I think most of the players can probably see that that's unlikely. And, you know, Gabriel might give us a spark. Who knows? And let's get him out there. And I think maybe the idea is, I mean, first of all, the more they can see of him, the more exposure, the better. And then also, you know, why not let him take some lumps, learn some lessons before they play the Dolphins at home, you know, so that he's got even a better chance to win that game and win some of these other games that are coming up. So it makes sense to me. I'm sure they didn't have a number in mind before the season, but I think when you asked me, we would talk about somewhere between 3 to 5 games is kind of what we thought.
Ross, in your mind, what does Dylan Gabriel have to do in order for this entire thing to be deemed a success?
What do you mean this entire thing?
Like deciding to bench Joe Flacco for Dylan Gabriel just 5 games into the season.
I don't know. Just show any type of promise. My sense was that you guys are on the air every day. I'm not. But my sense was that most Browns fans were ready for this sooner rather than later. Am I wrong on that?
I think so. That is fair, yeah.
That was my guess. And so I think that that's what they wanted, and they're getting what they wanted. And I think there's two questions. One is like, what does he have to do before they would move on to Shador? In terms of to moving on for Gabriel to be a success, I don't know, give any type of hope, show any type of flashes that he could be the guy. I don't think they need to win a game or win a game of the next couple or whatever, but it's not like the offense was lighting up with Flacco. I mean, they probably can't be much worse with Gabriel than they were with Flacco.
Ross, are you a Dylan Gabriel believer from back in college, all 72 years of him?
I told you that story, right?
I cannot recall.
2019, midway through the season, I did a game between UCF and East Carolina. And UCF's starting quarterback in 2019 was Dylan Gabriel. And their star receiver was Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis is in his sixth year in the NFL. He's on his third team. He signed a huge contract after becoming a free agent. This is Dylan Gabriel's first start. Like, that is just unbelievable. Good for him, though. I think he made a good chunk of change in college, which I'm happy for. I think he's a good fit for what Stefanski wants. You know, ball out quick, operated effectively, mobile enough for the bootlegs and stuff. You know, I think he's got a little bit of Tua to his game. I think maybe a little bit of Kirk Cousins to his game. You know, I can see some comps with both those guys. And I think he's a bright kid. He's obviously very, very experienced. And I think that will help him, although I also think he's going to see some things that he hasn't before from Flores. And, like, I wouldn't be surprised if all of you had a pick six. I don't know if you can prop bet that or whatever, but he's going to be trying to get the ball out quickly, and the Vikings know that. So they're going to try to jump these quick passes underneath, and I would not be surprised if Isaiah Rodgers or somebody takes one back to the house.
Ross, if things don't go well,
like what you just described there, just to be clear.
That would be pretty bad. What do you make of Joe Flacco remaining the backup quarterback and not Shador Sanders? Because that's been the buzz here today.
Yeah, well, you know how during preseason and training camp, there was a lot of nonsense about, you know, the Browns were like, setting Shador up to fail and putting him in a bad spot and all those things. So that was obviously nonsense and nonsensical. Making him the backup this week, or maybe even any week, but certainly this week, now that would be setting him up to fail. Because what people don't understand is all of the reps this week will go to Dylan Gabriel because he's the starter and he needs him and they want him to get those looks before the game. So the job of the backup in the NFL, which a lot of people don't understand, is to be able to function competently with no reps during the week, maybe one or two on Friday. So Flacco obviously just started the last four games, so he can do that. If they had Shador as the backup and Gabriel gets hurt the third play, it would be so bad that it would be comical. And so I think they're doing the right thing. Do I think at some point they'll probably throw Shador out there? Yeah, I do. But it will be at the start of a week where he gets all the reps as the number one. I don't think it makes sense to have him as the number two because – then if he got in the game, it would be ugly, ugly. I mean, it's probably going to be ugly whenever he gets in anyway, but then it would be, like, potentially comically bad, especially based on everything you see and hear about Shador.
Ross, did you see the video of Shador earlier today and Berea being asked about Dylan Gabriel named as the starter?
Where he moved his mouth but didn't say anything?
Yeah, that would be the one. I was just wondering if you had an opinion, because many people on the internet are big mad or big defensive about this.
Honestly, I'm at the point where I don't even know what to say with some of these guys and some of the things they do. I guess I'm neither. I wouldn't say I'm big mad. I really don't care. And I'm not big defensive either. But that is, you just described anything involving Shedeur Sanders in a nutshell. There is absolutely no middle ground. Anytime you post anything about Shedeur Sanders, I don't know if these are real people or if like someone has pre-programmed bots to come out on either side of any Shedeur Sanders issue ever. Nobody ever has a reason to take. It's always like, he's the best, he should be starting, blah, 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 or he's the worst, he's terrible. It's neither. He's a pretty good quarterback who, you know, obviously was not the prospect that people thought he was. Probably got drafted a little bit lower than he should have. Probably should have been like a second or third round pick. He's a developmental guy. He's got a long way to go. But nobody wants to hear that. But, like, doing stuff like this, I don't see how that helps him. I don't understand that.
Ross, despite all of this quarterback stuff, it kind of seems like week five, winnable game for the Browns in London. Minnesota's a little bit beat up. We're not 100% sure if it's going to be Wentz. They're hopeful J.J. McCarthy could practice at some point this week. Despite everything going into this game, this kind of feels like maybe a winnable game for the Browns.
It is a winnable game for the Browns. I mean, because of their defense, I feel like almost every game is a winnable game for the Browns. That's how I've thought about it. And this certainly, with how beat up the Vikings are and how they looked, I mean, they're not favored, the Browns. They shouldn't be. I don't think they'll win, but they could. You know, I mean, I think the Dylan Gabriel aspect of it's fascinating because we really don't – I mean, I think I know what to expect, but it's a lot of bootlegs to the left, but I think the Vikings will be ready for that. So you have to expect that the edge guy to that side, anytime Dylan Gabriel boots to the left, is going to go right at him and try to light him up. He's going to get the ball out super quick because they're going to be paranoid about Flores' blitz packages. And that's going to work a bunch of times, and I think probably not work a few times. I don't know the numbers this year, guys, but I talked about this with Greg Cosell last year on the Ross Tucker podcast. Flores blitzes six or more guys more than any team in the league, and he also drops eight in coverage and only rushes three more than any other team in the league. So most teams rush four, and if they blitz, they add one guy. Flores is either coming with six or seven guys, or he's dropping eight. He's like all or nothing, and I think it throws off quarterbacks a lot because they don't, it looks different depending on which one they're doing, and they change it up. And that's probably especially the case with a rookie quarterback in his first start.
Ross, is the AFC North rather really as bad as it looks right now?
No, I don't think so. I think the Ravens will be okay as soon as Lamar Jackson gets back to being healthy. Okay is not the same as saying they're going to the Super Bowl or a Super Bowl favorite. My guess is if he's only out a couple weeks, that it ends up being Ravens, Steelers, both somewhere between 9 and 11 wins, you know, battling it out for AFC North supremacy at the end of the year.
Ross, great stuff as always, buddy. We got a playoff game to get to in the very near future here. Otherwise, we'll keep you a little bit longer. But appreciate you and can't wait to talk to you again next week.
Sounds great. No, enjoy the playoff game. Later, dude.
Later, dude. That is Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. We got a tense playoff game going on. It is the ninth inning, and we are expecting when we come back, we'll be talking about a Guardians win, but some high drama, high tension over the Progressive Field, and we'll react to it in about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. The final score, Nick Padone, might say 6-1. It really didn't get there to the bottom of the eighth inning, and there was nothing about the top of the ninth that felt like you had a 5-run lead when Cade Smith veered into, oh, are we going to have one of those kind of day Cade Smith offerings?
That's one of the most heart attack inducing 5-run victories that you're going to find. I mean, it took all the way until the end. Brian Rocchio, Bo Naylor able to come up big with the long ball. And then Cade Smith to close it down. Boy, it wasn't pretty. Bases were loaded there with two outs, and they found a way. They find a way to keep fighting, Nick, and the magical run continues for this baseball team. Well, it's unreal.
There were a couple of pivotal moments in this game. In the top of the fourth inning, Detroit was initially thought to have two runners across on what was just the laziest little single up the center field spot there. And this is kudos to Stephen Vogt for having it reviewed on the spot. It did absolutely 100% look like the player was safe at third base. Well, that player was then, the call was overturned, which took one of the runs off the board. Cleveland got out of that, and it was 1-1 going into the bottom of the eighth inning where Brian Rocchio gets a home run. Then Bo Naylor comes through with a big 3-run blast, and more importantly, like we're just at the every game is put up or shut up time, and you wondered how would they react to yesterday with Schoolboo getting the best of Gavin Williams, Tanner Bibee a couple times, bend but not break. Like that's a playoff win. How you saw it is goofy as what was the word? Smoke and mirrors at points is that win was, and they did. I mean, there was the Chase DeLauder ball in center field that he misplayed. There was the Rocchio thing at second base to extend the top of the ninth inning. There were three or four opportunities to give it away. Bottom line is they didn't, and we play again tomorrow.
They got the job done. The pitching has been phenomenal. Like, you used 5 different relievers. Detroit left 15 men on base, which is a franchise playoff record for the Tigers. Like, Cleveland's starting pitching has been dominant, and people always say when you get into the postseason, you got good starting pitching and you've got a serviceable bullpen, like you can make noise in the MLB playoffs. Don't look now. Guardians one more game away from advancing in the postseason again, and I'm sure Detroit's got to be sick of seeing them. Like, I'm sure they've got to be sick of this entire guards ball, small ball nonsense, because today they got hit with the dose of the complete opposite. They showed you, okay, we could hit some home runs now.
I want to give Detroit credit because they're in this thing. And they're the reason why you now got to come back and not just win today, but win tomorrow if you want to sing for your supper. But if we look at across this series, you had the game right where you wanted it, and you cost yourself the game in the ninth inning yesterday. So the game was right there, and 3 bad at bats and two bad at bats and a bad base running blunder. Like, that's why you didn't complete the comeback you had.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Done so many times over yesterday. So it's very hard to come back from that, especially at home. The next day, it's another 1 o'clock somewhere in their first pitch. It's tough to come back and get this win, but they did it. And like every other win that has happened since about September 1st, it's a little bit of luck, a little bit of that right right sauce, right moment kind of mix, and just enough pitching to get by. And that's like, this is really just the goofiest way to win, and yet they've done it now time and time again.
And that's what they're going to have to do tomorrow. Like, you're going to have a little bit more of that luck. You're certainly going to need timely hitting, and you're going to need Slade Ciccone to be really good. You're going to need Slade Ciccone to be that middle of the year Slade Ciccone that gave you a lot of really good innings, that was able to pitch his way to a lot of victories, because shutting down this Detroit lineup has been a tall task for a lot of teams. Cleveland's been all right at doing it, though. So you don't want the floodgates to open tomorrow, because you were able to score six runs today. We know that this Cleveland offense is pretty fickle, and momentum is a big thing in baseball, so they're going to have to score runs. But I need Slade Ciccone to be really good tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, here's the bottom line when it comes to a three-game set. And it's funny, because I've heard a ton of old heads be like, this is why I don't like it. I'm like, it used to be a game. You think three games is chintzy. Wait till you have a game to decide whether you're going to make it or not, and two runs might be all you get on any given point. This is why I love it. Like, this was high level theater today, going from Valera leading off the game. We know that generally with the Tigers and Guardians, whoever scores first ends up winning that game, to Bybee getting out of a couple jams. Like, the stat line looks a lot cleaner than if you actually watch the game, even the bullpen. Like, it was gas can Gattis today, and you got, quite frankly, a little lucky that no runs were charged to him.
Tim Herron
comes in, slams the door shut. Then you think, well, we got Junis. Junis will get us to the ninth inning. Not so fast, my friend. You end up then going to Cade Smith, one base runner, one batter earlier. And it just, like, again, I'll go back to it. Like, none of this tends to make sense. Other than at the end of the day, no matter how many errors you have, no matter how many guys left on base you have, no matter how many close but no cigars you have, you won. And then you win tomorrow. Like, I don't know. I know, because yesterday, well, we lost a playoff game, so we're going to be pissed about Rodriguez. We're going to be pissed about John Kensey. We're going to be mad about this. Totally get it. Today's the day where you're like, now, Bo Naylor hit a big home run. Rocchio hit a big home run. You got the win. Let's just go see if they can get the series win tomorrow. Today's kind of the opposite of that angry because they lost kind of vibe.
And dude, like, it hasn't been pretty at all, but it just goes to show, like, this team quite literally has no quit. It backs up what I said to start the show and what me and Spencer German were kind of saying yesterday. Like, if there's any team that could fight their way off the ropes, it's the 2025 Cleveland Guardians. By hook or by crook, they're finding ways to get this thing done. And I do think a little bit of it is that they're taking advantage of the holes in the Detroit Tigers. Like, this is not a good Tiger bullpen. They were able to work Casey Mize's pitch count early in that game, and look at what you were able to do late in the game. Bo Naylor, Brian Rocchio, these guys have turned into different baseball players in September, and I think it just goes to show the overall fight in this team, that even though yesterday was as bad as it was and the offense was nowhere to be found, they're not giving up. They're not quitting now.
Well, but remember, last year, this win to me was the way you got all the playoff wins last year, which is you got just enough from your starting pitching. The bullpen came in, locked things down, and gave your offense a chance to get back in the game. And then, you know, last year it was David Fry. It was Lane Thomas. It was, at points, playoff Rocchio. And then that's what today was. George Valera. Nobody had that on their bingo card, being the guy to get the first run on the out of the game today. Then Rocchio hits a home run. Then Bo Naylor comes in with a huge pressure relief. Like, this is that playoff formula from last year. And I'll go on it again. Like, we shouldn't have had expectations going to the playoffs, because the fallback will be, well, anyone can win in this environment. Well, yes, that means everybody also has a slimmer margin just naturally.
Right.
Whereas instead of one or two teams that is definitely likely to come away with the crown, everybody kind of has a very small fixed pocket to do this. You're just at the point where, and this, I think this is a benefit to the Guardians, you're just trying to get through this series. I think it's so much harder to do this when all of a sudden everyone's watching every pitch, because the games are strewn out by two or three games at a time, and you have time to think about this. The beauty and the agony of this is you only had last night to think about yesterday's loss, and you only have today and tonight to think about today's win. So, like, I think by tomorrow you're going to be like, oh, cool, we're into the second round of the playoffs. They're going to be like, oh, that was quick. But that's the beauty of playing in a very truncated format here in the first round of the playoffs.
And what's really nice about it, too, is that you've been playing that style of baseball that's, okay, let's just win this series. Let's just win this game. You've been playing that style of baseball for a month just to get to this point. How many teams have we seen in the history of baseball, in the history of postseasons, where the teams that have to make October in a pressure cooker, the teams that have to make October by going on a run in the month of September, how many times do we see those teams catch fire in October and be able to go on a run and potentially win a World Series? And obviously, I'm not trying to get that far. I'm appreciative.
Seems like Nick Padone is guaranteeing a World Series victory. Jax, is that what you heard? That's kind of what I heard.
It's what Jax heard and what I heard.
I mean, that's fine. I guaranteed a Green Bay win twice, and they won once. So I got that going for me.
Okay. Well, I'm not willing to go there yet. However, if Coward. The offense could score six runs on a normal basis, maybe I'll start getting a little bit closer.
Really? I'm proud of you for going out there. Yeah, if this offense can score six runs, I think they're going to win more playoff games
pitching,
than lose.
I like their chance in the World Series.
I mean, some just lobbed it right down the middle. You were high inside on that one. 216-474-0092. The magical run continues with the Cleveland Guardians. Where are we at? I felt like yesterday everyone swung after that loss to they're not going to win and we should just shut down this and bleep the Dolans. How far does this win get for you guys? Let's go for you guys. Let's go with Matt in a car. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
I have no idea how in the world we are going to be going to game three, but hey, I'll take it. Up until that seventh inning, I was about ready to, like, rip all my hair out and, like, just the amount of just anemic offensive, like, moments that seems like this team's had despite the pitching has been baffling. And you could argue that this series should be right over had we had any semblance of an offense yesterday. But, I mean, that's why you play the game. So, like, you know, it's just a baffling because if I would have told you that most of the offense would be coming from, Rocchio and Bo Naylor and, you know, guys like Kwan and Ramirez, that's low-key going to be the narrative, too, if we end up not doing anything tomorrow. Like, I feel like very quietly, much as I love Jose, as much as I love Kwan, like, it's starting to get the amount of playoff games that they've played is starting to rack up, and the amount of times that they've kind of shrank in the moments starting to increase a little bit here.
So what I'll say, because to me it's more of a Kwan issue than a Hosey issue, and I thank you for the call, buddy. Go Guards, Guards ball. 216-474-0092 if you want to join in on us. Hosey at least has some numbers from the first run with the Guardians,
right,
where he was a pivotal part of some really nice playoff teams. Kwan doesn't. And it's funny, we were talking about this off air, and it's like this is a moment where Stephen Kwan can get paid off of or not get paid off of, because a fair amount of people have not seen him go in the tank in the second half. That's just a baseball reference or a baseball savant kind of stat, right? Like, the playoffs are what matters, and one good game, one good series can offset that. It's just continuing the story with Steven is he's not put up 162 ideally in his career. And right now he's on the downside of that swing where it's like, not only do you not get plus power, you're also not even getting great at bats most of the time.
Yeah, dude, and it's kind of messed up the entire offensive flow and the entire vibe, because usually what works, what Guards ball is predicated off of, is you've got Stephen Kwan who sets that lineup every single night. So when you're starting the top of that lineup with an easy strikeout or a ground out because Kwan, for whatever reason, is just not hitting the ball, it feels like it's trickling to the rest of the order. So they need Kwan in a bad way, and tomorrow would be a great opportunity in a do or die, back against the wall, must win game three. If Kwan could come through with a big hit, a lot of people will be singing a different tune. But for now, I'm like, Kwan, we need you here.
216-474-0092. Let's go with Jeff in University Heights. Jeff, how are you celebrating that Guardians win today?
Well, I'm glad they won, but this is my question. I want to get you guys' take on this. And this is not a second guess, because I said it when it happened. Cade Smith should not have pitched the ninth inning with a five-run lead and a game tomorrow because you want to save his pitch count. Now, in the last two games, he threw 19 pitches yesterday, 27 today, so he's thrown 48 pitches in the last 2 days. You're going to need him for tomorrow. If you can't trust anybody else out there with a 5, not but still 2-1 or even 3-1, I can see it. But 6-1, he should have never come out. You should have used one of the other guys out there. And, you know, I love Vogt, but, you know, I question a lot of some of his decisions come playoff time. I even harken back to last year against the Yankees when you had a 2-0 lead in game 5 and a base open with a man on base, rather, and Giancarlo Stanton's coming up, and you had Jazz Chisholm, who was hitting 156 for the series, and you pitch to Stanton, he hits a 2-run homer and ties the game. They wind up losing extra innings, and Vogt said, I would have done the same thing 100 times, and yeah, you'd have lost 100 times too. So I don't like that decision. I'm glad we won, but what kind of Cade Smith are we going to have tomorrow if we need him?
Jeff, we appreciate you. Guards ball. 216-474-0092 if you want to join in on this. Cade Smith was going into the ninth inning the second he went in the eighth inning.
Right.
I think
it was all hands on deck today, man.
Yeah, I would have imagined that if Stephen Vogt wasted Cade Smith on the eighth inning and then you never needed to get to him in the next game because there wasn't a next game, I think that'd be a bigger problem. The point is he was already in the game. He was going to throw that ninth inning.
Like, dude, if you pull Cade Smith and put somebody else in there in the ninth inning and you, God forbid, you blow a 5-run game, like we're sitting here calling for Stephen Vogt's head instead of getting you ready for a game 3 tomorrow. Crux of it is you need a little bit of length out of Slade Ciccone tomorrow because you had a lot of relievers go today. The good news is, though, like this is playoff baseball. Every team's going through this. Detroit used a lot of relief pitchers today. Like, this is what it's all about. It's our guys against theirs, and we could nitpick the strategy, but like that's your closer. That's the guy that you need to go out there and pitch a ninth inning. It is what it is.
I will say, I think going to Cade Smith with a third extra of the inning, which I feel like most of the times where disasters happened with Cade Smith as a closer, it's been that scenario. I thought that was wild. But again, like Vogt has confidence in Stephen being out there. Or Stephen. Cade being out there for the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Extra third of an inning. And today it almost, but almost burnt you isn't the same as actually burnt you. 216-474-0092. The Guardians win. How much faith do you have in them getting the series win tomorrow in Cleveland to take it to the divisional round? More on this and the Guardians conversation we've had and looks like we're going to keep having. Plus Brandon in Macedonia in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I will say, like, we've watched Bo go from a young kid in 2023, comes up, gave you that whisper of a wind. Actually, I might even be thinking about 2022 and thinking we've got the catcher of the next 10 years. Then 2023 happened. Then 2024 happened. And you were left wondering, where's the power? Where's the batting average? And he's actually been a much better defensive catcher than I think everyone expected. But moments like tonight or moments like today where you get to see that big home run, like there, at some point you watch a kid struggle the way Bo has it with the bat, and to see what he's done the last month and to see what he's done today, it's just tip your cap and you just get excited for a kid that's worked really, really hard for that moment.
Yeah, because you hit it. There were some dark days where you were wondering, is the Bo Naylor that we saw in Akron, the Bo Naylor that we saw in Columbus ever going to come true? And the fact that that pop in the bat exists should excite Guardians fans. I look at this like we kind of went through a little bit of a catching desert for a good minute when Yan Gomes retired. Like, you went through Mike Zunino, Sandy Leone, Luke Maley, Kevin Pulowecki. Like, the catching position
was just...
I've
yet to hear
just,
Roberto Perez, thank you very much.
Right, Robbie P came up in the clutch a couple of times, all right? You're not going to catch any Roberto Perez slander here from me.
You did just call him Robbie P. He sounds like a character from Breaking Bad.
Like, you needed Bo Naylor to be really good, and over the last month, he's been phenomenal. He's been a huge piece of how you were able to delete that 15.5 game deficit, and ultimately today, he turns into a reason why you're still fighting for your season tomorrow against these Detroit Tigers. It's remarkable.
There is a beleaguered bodega worker downstairs who asked, they won? What does that mean for tomorrow? And I'm like, you got another game tomorrow. And they're like, and if they win that, I'm like, you got games all next week. Let's go. It's good for business. You look tired. You look like you could use a nap. But let's go there, Pete, downstairs. And it didn't really work.
He wasn't fired up?
No, I think he's still very, very tired, and rightfully so. But with the Guardians getting the win again, tomorrow is the decisive game 3. It's funny. My reaction would be like, are they ready? I'm like... yes, we'll find out tomorrow, right around 1 o'clock, how ready they are. I think, do you pitch Cade Smith 3 straight days is a big question. I think, how much do you get out of Slade Ciccone? That's a huge question, probably the biggest question of all of them, because if Slade Ciccone pitches in between Gavin Williams and Tanner Bibee, you will be going to the divisional round.
It's really as simple as that. And you're going to need a little bit of timely hitting too. It came through for you today and it needs to continue tomorrow. You've got the momentum in this series now. Like, as bad as yesterday felt, and it was so unorthodox the way that Jose couldn't get home from third base. Like, you've stolen momentum from the team that you just deleted a 15.5 game deficit from. And I'm sure Detroit has to be so sick of seeing these Cleveland Guardians. And if you could just get a good outing from Ciccone tomorrow and score a couple of runs, you're heading to Seattle to play the Mariners. It's that simple.
216-474-0092. Let's go with Eric in Jersey. Eric, happy Guards Ball to you, sir.
Yes, definitely. What a win. I was in my office going nuts. I'm a teacher. I had to stay after school. I'm watching. I'm following in a meeting. And great win when Rocchio hit that home run. I got an alert on my phone. I just gave a fist bump at the meeting. But great win.
Hey, real quick. Eric, I've got to know. Did you have to hide the fact that you were paying attention to this game? Like, could people see your faces? Was this like a – did you go full tubing? Like, what's going on here?
Meeting. It wasn't a virtual meeting. I'm a teacher. I teach elementary – health and physical education.
The Lord's work.
Yeah, that's it. It was an after-school meeting. I was half paying attention to the meeting. I can't say that.
You were like, fully paying attention because you're a team guy there, but you were thinking about paying attention to the Guardians.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's 100%.
But you didn't because you're such a good worker. That you really just locked down. And those alerts, they alerted you. That's not you weren't alerting anyone else.
No, I was not. I was very calm, you know, and reserved. But got back to the office for the Bo home run, which was great. So, the bats came alive in the eighth. Cade, I think he's just a little overexerted today, but I think he'll be ready for tomorrow. Yesterday was a bummer. First time in like a month that Vogt didn't push the right buttons and it came back to bite us, but feeling good going into game 3.
All right, Eric, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much. Don't hide those alerts tomorrow. Yep. Okay.
I got you. Go Guards.
You let them know. Guards Ball. You let them know. No. This is decisive game 3. I'll also say my younger brother is a molder of young minds. You folks are saints, all right?
Yeah.
And it's not even the kids. your Saints because the parents are so much worse than the kids. Like, man, there's so many times where I have the written all over Nick's face is what he thinks disease. Mm-hmm. So, yes, do I have RBF 100%? The problem is if I think you're awesome, you see it in my eyes. All right, my eyes will twinkle for you. If I think you're a moron, oh, you can bet that I will tell you.
Not that's why you've been looking at me like that.
Oh, well, now I just realized I kind of blew myself up there. Yeah. No, I feel so bad because Vanessa will go out and everybody's like, oh, that Vanessa's such a great, and she is. She's an awesome mom. She's such a sweetheart. She's so patient. She gives, I mean, she works up, you know, 40 hours a week. And then because I'm not there here now, she takes them everywhere. And I mean, she's got it so much tougher than I do. And then in front of these same people, she has to go. And then the second I meet them, there's a look of like, why are you introducing to me this person? This person is like coal for your soul. And then she has to sit there because she's already been nice to them. And Wallace, I'll just walk away. So Eric's got it tough is what I'm saying. So does Vanessa. So does my little brother. Any really anyone in my general vicinity. 216-474-0092. We're not on to game three yet. But we're just taking your reaction on another big Guardians playoff win. But also, they're going to do it? They're going to take the series? It's kind of all I want. We'll worry about the divisional round when that gets here. I just want to send Detroit home and kind of piss everybody off. The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.